cliffcentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. It is the 6th of November. Hey, Gordo, have you got plans for the holidays?
The December-y ones.
Yes, the December-y ones.
Yes, reach them financially intact.
Ah, very good.
That's the plan. Actually, I really, really, really can't wait to not do anything. You know, I've done two overseas trips.
No, you told us that in the first hour already when you said that you'd rather not work and spend the rest of your life traveling with a whim person.
Yes, whim guy. Well, I mean, whim guy is a gender neutral term. There's no reason my whim guy can't be a woman, but I mean.
Ah, I met someone.
I will admit, though, through prejudice and socialization, it's been a guy in my imagination always, but I'm open to a whim woman.
So I met someone who likes the pronouns they and there.
Oh, right.
Yes, for the first time, I met a South African person.
How do they identify themselves?
They identify as them. They have a male name, but they're a female
inside,
and they're lesbian, and they do not find any of this pronoun stuff.
Okay,
trivial.
So just start again. Biologically,
it's a woman named David.
Correct.
Biologically, we started with a woman.
Yes. Yeah.
Internally, psychologically, feels like a man.
Well, I don't
but
know.
But like a lesbian. Anyway. Well, I mean, bless that person. Good
yes,
luck to them.
Them.
Yeah. I actually, yesterday.
No, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. We haven't met anyone.
I know,
like
and
that
I've just started on Billion season 4.
I haven't met a them.
And that Taylor Mason creature drives me completely insane. That it's we've discussed it ages ago, Billions. The TV show Billions.
I love Billions. Yeah, I know which creature you're talking about. And it's horrible to call them a creature.
I call her a creature not because of her politics or anything. She's just a myth little thing. She's like an evil, conniving, stone face. Her character is like bad.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, although with the sensitive vulnerability. But yeah, she's basically, I wouldn't say she's the villain of the series, but she's one of the villains of the series. And she's very easy to just despise as a character, which I guess is what makes her good as a character. But everyone also refers to them as there and there and like.
Yes, so them, as in the person I'm talking about, they like to be called them and they don't like he or she.
Yeah, so if I was saying to you, like, if I was telling someone about your party, I'd be like, Gareth had a party last weekend. I went to their house and they put out the most amazing snacks and you won't believe the speech they said about their birthday.
They made.
And we're talking about just one person.
They made. They made a speech.
Yes, the speech they made, the talk they gave.
I was for one of my clients. I opened
the poo they made.
For one of my clients, I opened up a kids' gym, and one of the women signing in, you had to tick boy or girl because they're boy and girl bathrooms, and she said, "No, this is Fish, who presented as a little boy, and Fish is a unicorn."
Because you see, they've confused kids like to play and imagine shit. I always used to remember, like, whenever there was a it used to drive me mad. I used to want to elbow my cousins to death. But whenever there was, like, a TV show, you put on a VHS tape of whatever shit got rented from the kids would all go, "I'm him. I'm her. No, I'm going to be her. I want to be her. You were her last time." And they decide who's who in the thing. Yeah. Like, imagine someone came out from Home Affairs as soon as that happened and handed them all new birth certificates. Like, okay, fuck. You, Xenon, Power Princess of West Danvard Land. And you can be Zorgon, the Destroyer Pig. And like, cool, whatever the kid decides it is today.
And because those
we used to have this like abandoned old shed in the corner of the property that was used for just like sticking old, like where the shit that spiders crawl on got stuck in.
Yes.
And me and my buddy Tim made it a clubhouse dedicated to the Ninja Turtles. And we were the junior turtles. And we drew the whole thing inside as well as we could with pictures of the Ninja Turtles. If someone had swooped in there and said, "Dude, you know what? It's official. You're a fucking Ninja Turtle." I would have been like, yes! I've been identifying as a Ninja Turtle so hard every day for like years.
And but this is the point.
No, I just am one.
You're right. Like, people have taken what used to be the space for fantasy, and also kids are easily like persuaded because they don't have the investment in being male or being female or being like into this or into that. You know, they're capricious as hell. Kids change their mind like in an instant. Yeah. And if you took them seriously, and this is what's, you know, happening to a lot of kids in America right now, is that their parents are these lefty kind of ideological hippie weirdos.
Yeah.
And what they do is their kid says, "Mom, I want to be Xenon Warrior Princess of Danblin," or whatever you call it just now. And the parent rushes off to, you know, the nearest official office and gets some stamp put on that from now on they would rather have the gender pronouns she and yeah. their...
Look, I mean,
they're so upset with my mum if I knew that she'd let me walk around saying, my name's Fish and I'm a unicorn.
Yeah, yeah, being Fish and I'm a unicorn and then the parent or the child or both not only expecting but thinking it's reasonably fair, it's unfair not to acknowledge that is a pile of bullshit. But also, like, sexual identity issues and gender issues are very real and cause a lot of... Yeah, just trying not to... I'm trying to do that thing where you're worried if you hiccup and burp at the same time, your chest will explode. Like real, there are kids who from a very young age know they're different and know they, you know, like, don't want to play with the boys, they want to play with the girls, and then that gets frowned upon because of some religious bigotry or some bullshit or some bully teacher in the school. There must be a distinction drawn between real issues like that. I just know because... I say I've got a nephew. It's one of my best friend's nephews that was gay from the day he was born. I watched his 28 now. I watched this kid grow up. I mean, he was gay. He was decorating the womb with gay sensibility before he was born.
What are those banners called?
Like,
with the triangles?
It was just like immediately gravitated towards all the little girls, dressed like them, wanted their toys, didn't want a He-Man toy, wanted a Barbie from like two, from crawling around. Literally when he came out, when he was about 16, my buddy and his dad's response was, "You don't say." And that was the quickest coming out speech ever. So this kid, whose name obviously I won't bring up, has always been gay. And I'm pretty sure that like primary school and also high school presented a lot of challenges for them that were probably shitty and unfair and full of rugby jock bullshit.
Yeah.
But if you want to be Fish the unicorn, fuck off, basically.
Shame, good. They're only four.
That's a hobby. That's called pretending.
All right. Here is an interesting story that might make you feel better if you're one
Sorry,
of
you are right, though. They are only,
I'm busy
there are only four, so fuck the
God.
Parents. No, Jesus. You made a very good point. Like the kid,
who keeps him under control when he is not here?
Not fuck Fish the unicorn. Fuck
like this, you just switch him off
and
it makes it all better. All right.
I can breathe now.
The parents. The fucking parents.
We've moved on.
Okay.
Psychologists confirm that people who decorate for Christmas early are happier. So now...
And gay.
Now you, and
happy
gay.
And
possibly,
gay.
I mean, that's in the carol, isn't it?
I wonder who would win in the great Christmas mission battle of Armageddon. The gays versus the soccer moms.
Oh, my word.
It's going to be a tough one, eh?
The soccer moms would be more traditional. They'd use a lot more patchwork quilty stuff.
Yeah.
The gays would
they'd
use a lot
some
more tinsel.
Stuff. Yeah, I think like you'd have a shitty but charming and quaint made with love cardboard angel on the soccer mom tree.
Yes.
And listen, there would be like a Fabergé angel of
on the gay
yeah,
one.
On the gay one with handmade
Dior
clothing.
At the top it would
clothing.
Be Jeffree Star, the makeup guru's actual star.
Yeah. All right.
And him in rainbow
So what
bell-bottoms.
This means, and there isn't a hard and fast rule for when you're supposed to decorate your tree. I always thought it was 12 days before Christmas and you'd take it down 12 days after. But it turns out that isn't the rule. There is no rule.
Hmm.
So people are just able to do whatever they want here. And if you look at the shopping malls, they've been decorated for like a month already.
Yeah.
They make you hate Christmas, hey?
I don't mind.
I'm not a Christmas curmudgeon. I know you love it. I love Christmas if it's a family affair. Like my brothers and their kids tend to go together somewhere. And if I can go and join them, I really enjoy like the big family thing. But if it's just me and a couple of friends or whatever, it's just it's the same as any other day. It's these little extra things, the minutiae and the grand stuff that makes Christmas Christmas. So if you're going to do it, do a tree, do the right, cook the traditional stuff.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, go big or just get Nan. Doesn't smoke a blunt and watch a movie.
Well, here it is, the justification you needed. If you were one of those families who had their tree decorated and the Christmas village out in full swing by November the 1st, you may be in luck. According to experts, decorating for Christmas early may make you happier, so you might want to consider pulling your garlands and your gigantic Santa statues
down. I can totally
down
agree.
Sooner.
If I put up fairy lights, I feel happier immediately at any time of the year.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a symptom of embracing Christmas earlier. I think it's just being one of those kind of people. Like, I would argue that
that's interesting.
I would argue that
so
you find
those
people who are
who decorate,
eager and chipper and enthusiastic about Christmas and want to get started on and can't wait to put up the decorations. Those are probably happier people. That happier people probably respond more to Christmas like that than people who begin pissed off. So it's almost like happier people tend to get more involved in Christmas as opposed to people that get more involved in Christmas tend to be happier. I don't think Christmas is making them happy, although it probably is still doing that. I think it's more
the other way around.
The other way around.
All right, Ass, what else is going on? Well, what do we need to know this morning?
We spoke this morning about New Zealand, and we spoke about Tinder.
Yes.
But we didn't speak about a trial in New Zealand about a Tinder date that went wrong.
Trifecta.
There's a British backpacker. Her name is Grace Milane, or was rather. She was murdered during rough sex on a Tinder date in New Zealand.
Jesus Christ, I didn't know they murdered people in New Zealand. It's got to be the first time they've ever murdered a chip.
But
was
now,
it the lady that got unfortunately murdered there in New Zealand?
Her alleged killer, who's in court, claims that Grace asked him to choke her and she died accidentally.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I have real fear of this.
Yeah.
I have real fear.
All right. Let me ask you a question, because this is something that's never come up for me, but I've thought about it and it worries the hell out of me.
Yep.
Okay. If a girl likes it,
yep,
she says to you, I want you to choke me.
Yes.
And then you choke her.
Yes, you do.
And something goes wrong.
This is where the fear starts.
Because it can.
What can you say?
You can't. You're just a murderer.
You're still a murderer.
I've had it.
She died at your hands.
I've had it and it freaked me out. I've had it twice. And the once it was more just like a cursory thing, more just like put your hand here and squeeze a little bit. It's a nice idea. The other girl was like, squeeze, 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 until eventually like the tendons in her neck. And then I was like, I try to let go because it felt so uncomfortable. I was like, this is either she's overdoing the effect and it makes it look like she's really dying, or she's really fucking dying. So I try to let go, and then she took her hand, put her hand over my hand and used my hand to squeeze until eventually I had to pull my hand completely away, and she was all like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, that was the best part and you stopped right at the wrong time. I'm like, you mean death? I stopped right at the death precipice.
Well,
like,
I'll tell you what.
I don't mind if to get off, you need you me to be cross. A bit rough with you, but I'm not squeezing longer than I think's okay.
I've heard from people who are into this. I'm really not into it. It does not please me.
No,
I don't
it doesn't
like
excite me at all.
The idea of pain and...
it's not for me much.
It's really not good. Like, I think the opposite of pain
But I'm
is
totally
pleasure.
Cool for other people.
Yeah, sure.
Of that.
But here's the thing. If you squeeze the larynx, not a good idea, because a little bit too much pressure there could seriously
damage it.
Well, kill a person.
Yeah, but I think what you're saying is it's not only about interrupted blood and oxygen flow.
No,
you can actually break someone's larynx and then they die.
If you squeeze on either side of it, there's the carotid arteries,
yes,
which go up into the head.
Yeah, carrying blood and oxygen.
And a shortage of that blood and oxygen can give people a dizziness.
And temporarily make you knocked out. Like, you cut it off,
right,
you go to sleep, you open it up again,
you
wake up.
I remember as kids, my cousin and I, we would hold our own...
till you fainted.
Arteries, and then like just fall backwards.
Yeah.
And it was really stupid.
Yeah.
And we did it a couple of times.
Me and my friends too, when we were about 11.
And our parents found out and they were like, what the
same
hell's
thing.
Wrong with you,
everyone
idiots?
Got in loads of shit.
Right. Mm. So you don't do that. But this is what people are into. And you know how many people.
But you
have
but
died?
You were saying it's the esophagus. You can actually
damage the larynx.
The larynx. All of that. That's to do more with speech.
No,
you can the esophagus is what takes food down to your stomach.
No, but the larynx is the talking.
I wish someone would damage mine. What?
Your larynx is this part of your breathing pipe, right?
Which one is the bit that if you damage it you can lose the voice box?
Yeah,
funnily enough.
Yes.
So I've heard stories as well about people who've lost their ability or
head. Like
yeah,
this for
exactly.
The rest of their lives.
Well,
so
that's,
whatever causes that, you can actually damage your talk bits as well.
Okay, but there's a big difference between choking someone during sex and being a murderer, and this is what the defendant is saying. He's saying, but she asked me to. However, this girl was bleeding through her nose.
Oh,
jeez.
Okay. God.
He then spent an hour after she died researching how to dispose of a body.
Oh, jeez.
He watched hardcore porn on his phone and took
yeah.
a series of intimate snaps.
Yeah, you see?
The next day, he bought a suitcase in which he would later stuff her body and bury it in a remote woodland area.
Then he's a murderer.
He hired a car and bought cleaning equipment to calmly, coldly, and methodically remove traces of Grace's blood from his carpet.
Yeah, that sounds pretty murdery to me.
At the same time, the jury heard, he arranged another Tinder date with another woman who he had met the same day that Grace lay dead on his floor.
Oh, what a murdery feeling.
And this girl's poor parents from the UK have to come in and hear all of this in court in New Zealand.
Well, here's
some... I didn't think they did crimes in New Zealand,
some
but
interesting
it seems they do.
Inputs, larynx has your voice box, and then that's a bit of a correction.
Okay, so it is one where you can screw up someone's ability to talk.
Keith says, the key to good sex choking is to only put enough pressure on so there's a bit of stridor.
Stridor.
When your sex friend starts going synaiotic, you know you've done it a bit much.
Yeah.
If it's the head rush you're after by cutting off brain circulation, rather use poppers.
Yes, I was going to say, right. It's the same feeling as poppers.
Poppers are like interesting for 15 seconds poppers. And then you get a headache for the rest of your life.
No, I don't. I get a headache from them.
You love them.
But I mean, you've got to be...
You love it.
Poppers is the realm of raving your tits off. Like, I know of poppers from like 3 a.m. at the rave when your shit's starting to come down and you needed to go back up again.
Oh, no. I would just do it in normal daytime situations with my family.
Just clap some poppers and carry on with your life.
That's what she's doing for Christmas.
I even knew which brands were the best ones and which were shitty.
Really? And you don't think this has maybe addled your brain in some way?
No, there's been far worse stuff than that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone working in retail will tell you they hate Christmas. I do not decorate an effing thing. That's from Lianka.
Yeah, I mean, the poor people working in retail. I think I might know which Lianka you mean. Lovely human being, and I can only imagine how you put up with Christmas in the retail space. Fuck.
And then... Dr. Robin says, look, my kid wants to go to Hogwarts and be BFFs with Harry and Hermione. As a parent, I allow her to play with the idea, but I make sure that it's not a reality for her. That is called parenting.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And then
listener
someone,
friend, that's exactly right. Don't indulge them to the point where you've got to alter reality to suit their childlike fantasies. Healthy.
Someone
childlike
says,
fantasy.
Who names a unicorn fish?
Yeah, exactly. It's not a stupid name for a kid. Amen, listener friend. Because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, not only is that a dumb fucking thing to do, but it's stupid name for a unicorn.
It's F-Y-S-H, by the way.
Oh, it's spelt with a Y. Okay, then we sterilize. It's the parents. They should be
they must be sterilized.
Sterilized. And all actions resulting from their lack of sterilization over the last 10 years must be reversed.
Obliterated.
They must put the kid back in and then sterilize.
Fish.
Yeah.
It's not the kid.
Put fish back in and sterilize them.
All right. I love this. Makazole Mpimpi, who is one of our heroes from the Rugby World Cup, dropped an F-bomb in an emotional homecoming speech.
I love it.
You want to hear this? I love this too, because the news networks never know what to do. They freak out. You know, they'll have...
Especially when it's live.
They'll have blood and gore and violence. It's basically a snuff film watching the news these days. Because
Watching a rugby match is...
You could have someone running across a street and the next thing some bullet is fired and then the person drops dead. And you're like, but that... I just watched an actual murder. And the news network goes, and as you can see, the streets are quite violent. They don't have any problem with showing that, but they lose their minds when someone drops the F-bomb.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the children that
massive
are watching.
Massive hypocrisy.
What are the children that are watching going to think?
We're so totally okay as well with we put a PG-13 on graphic violence in TV shows, like a cop show. Serial killer will machine gun the people in the bank. Cops come. They kill the gang of serial killers. The best friend cop dies in the other one's arms, and then we can't see a nipple half an hour later.
Yeah.
People like sex. People enjoy sex, generally speaking, and they like are kind of like it gets you going. That's why porn's so big. You like watching other people have sex. You like having sex yourself. Murder is fun.
No, but murder is totally acceptable.
A nipple, a bit of a blowy.
No.
That, can't have that on TV.
Let alone
and God forbid a swear word.
Or full frontal nudity.
Just don't even say that on broadcast. You can't broadcast that, Gareth.
Well, think about how they line it up. This SNVL, right?
Sex, nudity, violence, language.
So
that's the order that they put it in.
I don't even think that's their order, because I think they put violence right at the end. Language bothers them more than violence.
No, it is SNL. SNL.
V.
I don't think it's... I think it's just for the sake of making the acronym catchy. But anyway, what was the...
All right,
the swear word that got unleashed?
Here's Mumpimpi. Listen.
Back, wet bike, and then we sat being as the guys, and I sat being, you know, then I went to my room afterwards. I slept like maybe 5 minutes. I was like, fuck. I don't think I'm going to...
I went to my room and I was sleeping for like five minutes, and I went, fuck.
Yeah.
That's great.
As one would if one won the World Cup. As one would if one won.
That's so great.
Yeah, that is great.
And then, of course, in the actual written report from the Citizen, they use asterisks.
Yeah.
Couldn't print the word.
It's like the UFC just made a special novelty belt called the BMF belt to find out who's the baddest motherfucker.
Yeah.
And like they swear, the president, Dana White, swears live on air, no problem. Yeah. The commentators are encouraged not to, but even they, from time to time, when something amazing happens, will swear a bit. Every fighter in their promos, like not just after the fight when they're all like hyper from winning, the video thing that plays before that they produce in like, you're like, I'm going to fuck this guy up, I'll show him who the baddest motherfucker is. But then in any like time that they have to refer to it outside of a fighter,
it's the BMF.
It's the BMF belt to find out who the baddest mother effer is. It's like, don't use it.
Are you still commentating on those matches?
No, I got horribly snaked there, but it was a long, long time ago. So
what happened?
Dude, I mean, I used to dream of the day I could air the dirty laundry of the whole scandal, and I just can't be asked. But basically, a whole lot of us did it for cheaper than we were. Than what we normally would, because once the thing got a TV deal, it was going to be way more lucrative and we'd all benefit. And so about 17 out of a team of about 20, if what I understand to be true, they just replaced everyone once they signed a TV deal with people who weren't going to charge them triple as had been promised to them.
Leanne, a question for you. Are you talking about jalapeno poppers?
Oh. No, there was one. The brand I liked was called Rush.
It's a creative name for poppers.
Yeah.
Jalapeno poppers. There's a lot to be said for a jalapeno popper. I just always find them too rich.
Someone says here that stuff, the poppers, is a leather cleaner. You shouldn't be breathing that in.
Yeah, it's just like terps. It's got that. I'm not like.
Oh, my God.
I appreciate the. Look. Back in the day of raves, I could really enjoy like a popper as a pick-me-up for when your acid or your MDMA or whatever is kind of wearing off, or someone just hands it to you and you just clap one and you're like, oh, I feel lightheaded. But on those few occasions where I've like actually tried to get involved in it and like people pass it to you and you have one and it comes back and you have one and you're just drinking, like it starts to give me such a headache. It's not just like smelling paint.
I don't think in the long run it's good for you.
No, and look, the last time I had any was probably 20 years ago.
We should call a poppers party.
I thought you kept a cupboard full.
It's not
a current thing, that's
you
for sure.
You did make it sound like poppers is your jewel. Like I'm about that popper life.
She goes home on a Friday at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
If you're going to do a popper, do that shit proper. You know what I'm saying? That's the life, that popper life. Wait, like if I wanted, what's it now? It's 22 minutes past 7. And let's say at 22 minutes past 7 on a fine Wednesday morning, I was like, man, I need a motherfucking pop. This morning I need some pop. Where would you go? Can I get one now?
Sex shops. Very, very readily available at sex shops.
So sex shops is the vibe. Because I've got this weird feeling like I've seen them at
Leanne
garages.
Would skulk into a sex shop at 7:22 in the morning.
No, I'd go in.
Guns blazing.
On.
Walk out with a brown paper
bag. I even took one back and said, I'm sorry, this is really shitty. Can I try another one? And she gave me another one. I said, I'm going to open it and test it before I buy it. And I tested it in the shop.
Yeah, because I'm stoked to buy stuff in sex shops that other people have opened and tested.
Well, I ended
and not taken. Somebody opened. Hello, sir. Somebody opened and tested this model, but there's nothing wrong with it. Like, well, then why didn't they buy it? Oh, that's not a good fit in my nort. I'll hand that one back. Can we try a different one?
All right, what else is in the news before we get Joe Camino in here? He's going to help us, by the way, because December's coming up and people spend like idiots. So Joe's going to sort us out.
In the mood for a bit of Immaculate Conception?
Sure. Always.
Always. My favorite
The Roman
kind.
Catholic Church has opened up an investigation after two nuns became pregnant.
Oh, we wonder how that happened.
Shit.
So they're actually investigating how two nuns... On separate.
Did you just say, oh shit, double Jesus?
Double Jesus.
Investigating how two nuns on separate charity missions to Africa became pregnant.
I can't imagine how. I got my buddy Kulani is sitting across from the window. You get him in here, he can explain how you get pregnant if you visit Africa. He's over there.
So the nuns were sent to their home countries in Africa from their order in Sicily to complete missionary work.
I'll bet.
One nun, aged 34, discovered she was pregnant after she was given an ultrasound following complaints of stomach pains.
And she said, of course, she hasn't slept with anyone.
No. So you got to try that card. That's your last card left.
Well, it worked for Mary.
Yeah.
The other nun, a mother superior originally from Madagascar who cared for the elderly, also found herself pregnant.
It's amazing. You wake up one day and you're like, what? I'm pregnant.
Although I did have a friend who literally found out she was pregnant when they were like, cool, we got to take this baby out of you. It needs to be born.
So one of them has actually left the order to raise her child. But there's a huge investigation because this is the breaching of the strict rules of chastity.
All right, well, let's look at this.
But I mean, they sound like they're a lot more concerned about these horrific breachings of the chastity rules
than they are about
the ones where the more senior male staff in the church do it to children.
Yes.
I mean, if they came back pregnant but not raped, then good for them.
Here's the deal.
No one sounds like they committed a crime there.
Occam's razor is this terrific means by which, it's a tool by which we figure out the most obvious possible explanation for something without complicating
Simplest route is usually the most likely.
So here's the deal. You are the Pope or you're the bishop in charge of these two nuns. They get back from their little sojourn in Africa and they're like, oh my goodness, we've become pregnant. And you go, let's look at what could have happened here. You could have had an immaculate conception with a Holy Spirit, like you're supposed to believe happened with Jesus.
That would have happened when they were in their order.
Well, hang on.
If it was that.
That's the point. Sure, absolutely. But that all the rules of nature have been suspended in your favor.
Yeah.
And that you
Both of you.
And you've broken all the rules of nature. Like, immaculate conception is not naturally under laboratory conditions possible.
It's not possible at all.
Humans cannot reproduce by wind pollination. Okay?
No.
So what happens is either you believe that all of that has been suspended in your favor.
Not just humans, mammals.
Or that these two nuns are fucking liars.
Yeah. I'm going to put my cash over here. I'm going to take a wild flyer and put my cash under the nuns we're boning. Just a guess. Mm-hmm. I just want to break away from the pack and have a higher statistical chance of my bet winning. Because, I mean, obviously it was the Lord. Also, like, what ethnicity is the baby going to be this time? Because if you get ghost boned by the Lord, I mean, typically you would imagine the ethnicity of your kid is going to be an indicator of what ethnicity the Lord is. So, like, if you're a light pink, pale person like me, and you get boned by the Lord and have a baby, and the baby comes out like, you know, darker than you, then it's safe to assume that the Lord's pretty dark. Similarly, if you're like a dark black person and the Lord bones you and you suddenly have a Lord baby and it's like half as light as you are, it's half as dark as you are, it's reasonable to assume that the Lord...
So are you saying that
if the Lord can just impregnate a cross-section of ethnicities, we can determine the Lord's ethnicity by checking the babies in comparison to their mothers?
Oh, wouldn't that be controversial if we find out that the Lord is of a different ethnicity than many of his followers.
Yeah, or like, you know, if Mary literally did just get boned by the wind and had to explain this to Joseph, who was like even more gullible than me with my ex in Spain, just being like, I want to believe this. It's not right, but I really want to believe it. And then having never encountered an Aboriginal people who would not be discovered for 2,000 more years. Well, did I say discovered? I mean found by white people for 2,000 more years. The lo and behold, the immaculately conceived child of God is like very dark black, darker black than anyone's ever seen before, because God's actually Aboriginal. It would be hysterical, like, he looks just like everyone else. Odd.
All right, what else?
Jeez. I wonder how long it went on for that. Bibles were handled, kids' Bibles with pictures were handed out with a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus.
It's still going on.
Yeah, Swedish Jesus. Jesus looks like Jorge Masvidal. That's what Jesus is supposed to look
like. Out of the Middle East.
Yeah, Swedish Middle East Jesus.
Jesus probably looked like Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, literally that's what Jesus would have more or less looked like had the amalgam of historical creatures, the historical figures that became woven in a Romana clef into the concept of Jesus would have been very reflective of Middle Eastern ethnicity.
Right.
And they are not Chris Hemsworth with slightly browner hair. They look like Islamic people. They do.
Or more, even more closely, Jewish people.
Unless Jesus was born to the brown people of Israel or at the Middle East, but God is a pale Scottish man. And that's how Swedish blue-eyed Jesus Because if you took like a if you took an olive skin person from like Palestine or Israel and crossed them with a red-headed Scotsman or like one of those like white eyebrow, white hair Scandinavians, you'd end up with Jorge Masvidal as Jesus. That's why Jesus is a brown-haired, blue-eyed, semi-Norwegian man. All right, God's pale.
What's going on?
And so when we think of racing dogs, we think of greyhounds, right?
Yeah, whippets.
Yes, whippets or greyhounds. Well, in Germany, pugs are now winning medals. And, yeah, it's apparently a new trend.
Racing
it's
pugs.
It's been taken very seriously.
Is that what they're doing, though, racing pugs? Oh my God, then go, Champy! Listeners, if you're at a computer, you've got to Google this, but Google it also independent, because the independent newspaper's racing pug picture is a delight.
And the winning dog at the moment is a dog named Elvis, who has a slight advantage because his legs are a bit longer.
Because he's the king.
Yeah. So they race 80 yards. I don't know what that is. In 8 seconds. It's an 8-second race.
If I'm not mistaken, a yard is just under a meter. So it's, for all intents and purposes, about 80 meters. 75.
I mean, pugs look like, just their expressions, they look like they're going through a hard time in general.
Very
just
sad.
Sitting.
They look like they're made a little bit of, out of plasticine, and they've run into a wall a bit too hard.
Mm-hmm. They're generally just strained to breathe.
Any breeds that struggle to breathe or have like implied sort of mechanical problems.
It's called brachiocephaly.
And the reason
when you've got something bred into you that's made to fuck you.
It's when your breathing pipes are obstructed by your very squashed face.
And
hard for you to breathe in and out.
Also just that the fact that they're shorter. You don't have enough surface area around those pipes to absorb oxygen. Mm-hmm. That's what actually happened to a Staffy that I had.
Short pipes are
growing up. And he was like, his father was the champion of South Africa. And he died on a routine walk.
Yeah, because they're so...
My buddy Francois, the same thing. I'm sure you've had him on the show. Francois from Forkhoff.
Yes.
Loveliest man in the world. Like, you cannot begrudge that oak any of his success. He's just the best guy ever. But he also, like, he has a song on the more recent Forkhoff album about how much he loves his dog. And then, like, yeah, he's got a tattoo of his dog. And then his dog, this Bull Terrier, just died. It had a heart attack, like, also because apparently just constant strain to breathe.
Mm.
Not from any specific real like exertion, just from day to day life.
Yeah, those will be your bulldogs.
Was a British bulldog.
Boston Terriers.
I don't know actually.
English bulldog.
Yeah, I don't know my breeds that well. I want to say it's an English bulldog because it's the one that looks like Winston Churchill, but I could be wrong.
That's an English bulldog.
But one of those very bulldoggy.
The French bulldogs are smaller. They look a little bit more like Boston
like
Terriers.
Yeah. This was one of the old school kinds, the classic kinds.
Yeah, so I hope that it's...
Dogs that are bred for like winter, like snowy winter thing. Mm-hmm. It's like having polar bears sitting next to swimming pools in the zoos of South Africa.
Yeah, it's terrible.
They're designed to survive like literally -40 degrees.
Yeah, we used to have St. Bernards who are, they're those dogs that
go find people in the snow. So when you as a human, the snow is too much for you to survive, they send a thing that's able to survive in snow that you can't to come and rescue you. We then take that thing into heat that we can't deal with. Like, fuck, guys. Similarly, like you can't take a tropical jungle squirrel and drop it at the Arctic and be like, good luck, fucker, the penguins are that way. Similarly, you can't take St. Bernards, huskies, polar bears and shit and say, okay, welcome to the Johannesburg Zoo, there's the pool, like it's a clubhouse in a four-region townhouse complex. Anyway, so we were talking about bulldogs not being able to breathe.
Well, all right.
It's very true, though.
And by the way, Leanne, are you planning any Christmas meals? Do you remember how you told me about turduckins?
Yeah, dude.
Oh.
And that's the only time a food with the word turd in it's going to be a winner.
You know what? This Christmas is really... this Christmas is really exciting for me, and I had lost interest in Christmas, actually, for quite a while. They just became all the same as they are. But then when my mom was ill and in hospital and we... didn't have a normal Christmas. It was absolutely horrible. We didn't do trees, decorations, anything like that. And it's just made me realize, just speaking earlier about people putting up decorations and feeling happier, that it really does make a difference to actually plan something and do something.
Yeah.
Were you visited by a curmudgeonly, miserly ghost? His life had been meaningless despite
Joe
having
Camino
lots
like
of money.
That.
I wasn't talking about Joe Camino. Camino. Like I like Joe Camino.
Are you a miserly, angry, curmudgeonly old man, are you, Joe?
Get off my grass. Damn it.
Listen, Joe's wearing a hat that has cut up credit cards all over it. It's beautiful.
He really
the
does.
With just the Visa signs on them and MasterCard.
Is this the season for making your own decorations out of old credit cards?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Is this the season for making old decorations? I mean, credit cards. Decorations out of old credit cards.
Well, no, these are actually from clients who've paid off all their credit cards.
That's
and,
fantastic.
They're very happy.
So you take the card and you cut it up and you turn it into
a
decoration.
Keep the hologram.
Beautiful.
Once
I love it.
Once the debt's paid, presumably.
So Joe, I was just about to give you mine to cut up.
Because that's a good way to stop the debt also, is to cut the card up first.
Yeah.
Rather than to do it as a celebration at the end.
Right. So Joe, people lose their minds in December. Gord was just saying now that his dream, his hope for December and for his holiday is to be financially
fit.
Solvent.
Solvent. Yep. In the green.
Yeah. He's not going on some expensive holiday.
Nope.
Good. They double the accommodation costs. They get the special menus. Go in January when it's normal.
Totally. December's a scam for travel, and to an extent, January's a scam for travel as well. Go in February. Go in November. That's like not even just from the perspective of being wiser about money. This is a better way to holiday.
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. I enjoy people unless they're on my damn grass. But, to be overpaying and all that. I did it for many, many, many years. Of course, I could afford it. You know what I mean? But now what you have, and I always talk to people, when we do the corporate training, I ask the groups, when you got your credit cards, you were going to pay them in full. Do you pay all your credit cards in full every month?
Mm-hmm.
And I get maybe one hand out of 40 people. And that tells you have a problem. So, this is what we're doing to the kids. We're programming them. I'll never forget a couple years ago when my son wanted to get a bank account. And I go, why? They're just going to bleed you. You know, yeah, just take your money every. You know, they say to give you interest.
So you don't even believe in bank accounts?
Well, I'm an anti-bank guy. I believe don't take financial advice from people behind bulletproof glass.
Good point. But what do you do with you can't buy a house with cash?
No, but your bank account is a loss. It's a guaranteed loss. I mean, they haven't beat inflation in over 20 years. And they claim to give you interest, but you got to keep, I think I wrote an article a couple years ago, you got to keep like a minimum balance of 22,000 Rand in there every month to make enough interest to pay your fees.
Wow.
So you're not really making any interest.
Aren't they all reducing their fees now because they've been caught with their pants down?
Well, they should be because they're retrenching as well. I mean, their cost. This is what they did to us with the credit cards. You know, due to all the fraud, that's why you pay high credit card interest. Well,
so you don't? Do you have a bank account?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But you don't like it. You try to keep
I used to keep a lot of money in there, and then they used to call me every couple months with, we want to send one of our qualified financial advisors out. You know, they cared about me when I put a lot of money in there, but when I loaned, my boss said, keep 20,000 in there, they won't call anymore, and they don't.
But what do you do with all the rest of your money? You can't keep it under the mattress. It's not safe.
No, but you invest. I mean, a bank account is to be used.
Okay.
You know,
it's
not
transactional.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to look at the overview, you save at 5%, you pay a bond at 9. You save at 5%, you pay a car at 14.
Mm-hmm.
You save at 5, you pay credit cards at 19 to 21. You save at 5, you pay personal loans at 25%. You're going backwards.
So it's
just
a fictitious
thing. Yeah, and what I do is I go to the ATMs quite often, and I pick up those slips people throw in the on the floor.
I always check those out because I'm so curious just to see who's got some loot. And some people available balance is like minus 28 Rand. Other people available balance, 476,000.
I had one guy ran his balance 3 times. It was 0. At what point don't you understand?
Shame.
It was quite, very, yeah. I mean,
it's probably just hoping it's a mistake or hoping that some money's arrived.
Yeah, and they're probably charging him to run the balance.
100%.
It's sad. Damn. It's sad. And the average, I think, in October 5th was 1,873 Rand across 10 accounts. So that's what the people have.
And, all right. So what I mean, especially over this period, people feel compelled to spend on stuff that they normally wouldn't buy.
Mm.
Even smart people get caught up in this, oh, I've got to buy presents
some
for everybody.
Some people are like looking forward to it. Like, yeah. I'm going to just buy, I'm going to go batshit on the buying. I can't
wait.
Well,
if you've got a horrible life, okay, I mean, I'm not making excuses for these people. And Joe, you can give us the advice afterwards. But I think some people have horrible lives and it makes them feel better to be able to buy something, even if it's something small, for someone else, and to just put away. And this is very dangerous, but they put away into the back of their minds that they're going to owe this money in January and February. And January and February are just horribly painful for these people. But they feel like December they've got to splash out because it's the only happiness they have all year. I mean, how do you even help people who feel that way?
Well, first off, I always tell them, because I get stupid gifts. And stupid gifts are always prefaced with it's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
You know, I give 5-star wine and, you know, nice right cigars and
beautiful
and crystal, yeah, you know,
right,
and I get prune mampur.
Enjoy yeah time.
Did you hear that, Yvette?
Pro tip, yeah, don't drink the prune mampur.
Well, anyway, I gave it to her mother and she looked at me. You know, I gave it to her mother for Christmas because I don't like prunes. I don't have any digestive problems and I don't like mampur, you know, but it's the thought that counts. So I gave it to her mother for her birthday and she looked at me with this look and I go, the gift that keeps on giving.
Okay. Yeah. Regifting is a very clever plan.
Quit, and I'm going to give you suggestions for everybody out there. This Christmas, give yourself the benefit of financial fitness. Tell your friends and family, listen, we're giving ourselves financial fitness. We're not going to be buying your family any gifts. Please don't buy our family any gifts. Now, you're saving them because people owe so much money on their credit cards. And once we go to junk status, Gareth, interest rates are going to spike. And for those youngsters out there that are listening, 1999, and you'll remember, home bond interest rates were 19% to 21%.
That kills you.
Yes. And not only home bond, don't forget there's cars that are larger, there's mm-hmm credit cards, and that could be not that high, but once we go to junk, interest rates are going to spike again. So they could, in 2 weeks of having a great time around Christmas and hiding their anger and angst and frustration with their finances, with booze and gifts for other people, they're going to come back in January and it's going to be 6 months before they can even dig out of it.
Jesus.
So don't let 2 weeks of happiness end up in 6 months of misery, as they do every single year. So the other thing I want to tell people is don't take your kids shopping with them.
Do not take the kids to the
duct
shopping.
Duct tape them to the table. They'll be there
when
you get back.
Don't take them with you. Financial fitness aside, just don't take your kids shopping.
For your own sanity.
If you've got a family, leave the fucking kids with the family. Like, why do you need the monthly shopping where you're going to do 3 barefooted trolleys at Hyperama for the month's groceries? Do you need all 9 of your kids? If there's a day of the month where a grandmother or the baby daddies or your brother or sister or even a babysitter can come and look after your 9 kids, it's the day you need to go to Hyperama when it's busy.
Right.
See, the problem is that they're watching you.
Why would you take them?
They're watching you. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're buying Tani, one of those tablecloth dresses that they sell in... Centurion, you know, they see you buying all these things, and they see you buy all these kids, you know, the cousins' toys, and they see you swipe that card, and they see you use that pin.
Mm.
They're actually learning. I was in Canton City a couple months ago, heard 14-year-old kid, Dad, put it on your card. Dad says, no. The kid came out with a convincing argument, spoiled, rotten child, and the dad put it on his card. They're not there at the end of the month when the people get the bill, and they go, ish, what am I doing? You understand?
Mm.
And they always want, they want, they want. And this is something my boss, Jim Miller, taught me when I had my son when he was young. When you go to the shops with them, they all, oh, can I have this for Christmas? You say no, they have a meltdown. Now, my son never did. Thank you, Don. But a lot of kids do. And so what you do is you tell them, okay, put it on the list. End the conversation. Now, December 24th at 8:30 is when you put them to bed. Go, where's your list?
I can imagine there's real panic when they realize there was the list was real and not just the thing you said.
That is a hell of a thing to do. This is torture of children, but in some ways it makes perfect sense.
Hey, I look at them all at my sports club over there in the Santon Sports Club, the spoiled, rotten screenagers.
Oh, I like that.
I got a picture of a six-month-old baby on a phone.
Surely that's just
a parent handing it the phone so it can put it in its mouth and beat itself.
No, they actually use it. I've seen them.
Well, six-month-old babies can do nothing.
Looking at it.
Oh, okay.
He's just looking at it.
They're like, not like operating, calling an Uber.
No, but they do.
I hope.
Like, shit.
They do puzzles and things balls with colored balls. And
they're called screenagers now, these kids, because they're so into that phone. And you know, and that's the other thing I want to tell parents. Quit upgrading your phone. I mean, I've got an iPhone 6S. It still works fine. My bill went from $899 to $299. I'm not cheap, but I think we're heavily overcharged here for our
majorly
Vodacom.
Overcharged.
I mean, don't want to use a name, but
the
for our
insurance
cellular.
On a good new phone, if you want like a fancy newish one, is as much as buying the phone. Yeah. It was Ben Kapinski from this show who, even though he went back on it and ultimately went back to iPhone, was like extolling the virtues of downgrading your phone. And mm-hmm. he, after his most recent iPhone at the time had needed replacing, he decided to just go spend like 5,000 Rand on a very mid-level phone, pay for it cash, not pay it off, and use it until it fell apart. Inspired by that, I did the same thing. My flagship Samsung phone had turned just over 2 years old, and as is programmed for it to do, everything broke at once, and I needed a new phone. And I looked at the contract options for getting the best phones, and I just went, fuck it. For 5,000 Rand, there's this one that does everything, and I don't miss anything about the better, mm-hmm. about the better phone. I don't miss anything, like, at all.
Right. Well, you got to realize that what they've done is they've promoted people to pay all the bills, live on what's left. They put blinkers on them like a horse. So they work hard for their money, pay all the bills, live on what's left, and they live their life based on their monthly payments. They know how much they owe every month.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how much they owe. And when you add up your home bond, what you owe, and your car loan, and your store accounts, and your credit cards, and your overdraft, and your personal loans, you might owe 1.5 bar. Sorry, that's what we in Santon call million.
Yes.
All right, but is there good debt and bad debt?
You know, they say that there is. But as somebody who's debt-free, I say no. There, you know, good debt, let me give you an example. Do you own a home?
No.
Do you own a home?
Yeah.
Paid off?
No.
Good, you don't own it. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But your home's your best investment, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. You'll pay 2.5 times the price for the house. So they teach you all this stuff, and they tell you it's good debt, and they keep you in it for 20 years. You pay that house in 7 years. That's okay. That's what you got to do, but it's the credit cards and all the little miscellaneous deals that stop you from paying off a bond in 7 years. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they say good debt. Well, I encourage everybody out there to have no debt. And then tell me how that feels.
Yeah.
When you make your final bond payment.
I don't own the house,
payment.
But I haven't got the debt either. And while cash flow can get tricky and that kind of thing, it is the best feeling. I always say, like, you know, at my age, 38, I don't have properties all over. I haven't got, like, an enormous share portfolio, a little bit tucked away here and there. But I've got friends who have got two cars, a three-bedroom place, and go on these expensive holidays every December. And I'm like, who's got more? You with your 3 million rand of debt between you and your wife? Or me with my no debt and just a little bag of shekels to get me through every month?
Shekels. Well, I call it keeping up with the Joneses, the Motsepis, and the Naidus.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to be on top, you know? I drive an awesome car. It's a Honda Accord. It was 400,000 cash. The Beamer was 800. So I saved 400,000 bucks. When you look at that at 10% over 11 years, that turns into a lot of money.
Yeah.
So by buying the cheaper car, and that's one of the things I teach, you buy a 700,000 Rand car, your payment's 16,000 a month. You buy a 300,000 Rand car, your payment's 6,000 a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm also a firm believer on getting, without like being a you know, without making a martyr of yourself and within a reasonable degree, get the most basic, or rather the cheapest car you can live with. Because if you drive a car all the time, especially like you don't do a public transport, you're driving every day, you can't hate the car. I know what that's like. But you, once you get a certain fancy new car. It's going to be the most exciting thing you've ever done for the first month. Then you're going to get a little warm feeling every time you get in it for another 2 months. And then you're going to eat fried chicken in it on the way to work.
For the next 5 years.
It'll become exactly how you felt about every other car you've ever had.
Yeah, for the next 5 years, you're going to be making that payment. I tell people, go out, buy a bottle of new car smell for $49. And you can put that over your budget. Because when I ask people, and I do in our corporate workshops, how long is your new car new? I hear a week,
a month maybe.
Yeah, but you got 5 or 6 years worth of payments now.
Yeah.
And now with the cars, I'm going to talk about this. They got these balloons out there.
Oh.
And these balloons they're popping as we speak. They're exploding as we speak. And the bottom line is most of it's a six-year loan, and your car might not be worth what you owe. The example I use in the workshops is a 400,000 Rand car. In 6 years, it's worth 104,000.
Yeah.
And with a 50% balloon, you owe 200. So when you have a 104,000 Rand car that you owe 200,000, what do you do?
Yeah, you worry.
People say refinance. They're not going to give you 200,000 on a 100,000 Rand car. You got to go get it from your parents. And if your parents don't have it, repossessed, it's over. So yeah. They're luring them with this balloon.
Let me ask you something about, you talk about people who go to their parents. Like most of my friends are older than that already. And I was talking to someone who's much younger the other day. They were saying that their worry is the kids are staying with the parents for much longer, which probably isn't a bad decision from a financial point of view for the kid. Bad for the parents. But, you know, they get their meals, they get their washing done, they get the free accommodation, whatever it might be. But kids who are staying with their parents well into their 20s and are still not getting jobs, because there aren't a lot of jobs out there, what the hell do they do? You talk about this stuff. This is a world away from their problem. They can't even get an income, let alone sort out their debt.
Yeah, book smarts. I have a brother, and I'm not proud. He lives in Vegas. He lived with my parents his entire life. They died.
Oh, wow.
And then he moved out.
Wow.
And he's a social idiot, you know? He's a chef, and he gets fired from all jobs. He's a gambling problem, believe it or not, living in Vegas, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And living in North Las Vegas, which is the toughest part of town. But he's from Chicago, so we can handle that, you know what I mean? But I see the kids, and they're social idiots, you know? Yeah. They're on the phone, they're in their little groups, and the parents, especially the moms, you know, they pull them close and they give them all that maternal stuff. And now when you talk to them, they get offended at everything, you know, and they don't stand up on their own 2 feet. And they don't go out and get a job. And they don't. Why? When you can come home to 3 squares and a cot. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's like jail without the beatings.
Well, jail's 2 squares and a cot. But anyway.
Yeah. But that's it. The benefits of jail and none of the hard time. Literally or figuratively.
Anything else you want to warn us about? Because, I mean, you're so full of optimism this morning, Joe. It's always...
Well, I really wouldn't go out and buy a house right now either. I know. But I've got articles, 10 years of a bear market, 21% drop in housing over the last 10 years. And when interest rates spike, and they're probably going to when we go to junk, houses will drop even further. So don't make the largest purchase of your life right before an economic calamity. Which is why,
and that's what's coming.
Cyril needs to pull this baby together.
Make South Africa great again.
There you go.
Good luck getting away with that in a public forum.
I love it. I'm going
to
wear it.
Are you saying that it's a bad time to buy a property? Because yes. I'm kind of thinking of mobilizing to do that. The very short version of a long and involved plan is buy a property, get that going, and then bugger off overseas. That's kind of my next mission for the next year. And
rent it out.
Yeah.
You ever heard of tenants from hell?
I know it. Yeah, I know it's a risk that you take.
Most people do it wrongly. And what they do is they let the guy pay it off over 20 years. They let the renter, which means you don't have any money for 20 years. And then when your wife decides, hey, I don't like this guy anymore, and you get divorced, what happens to that rental property?
Becomes hers.
Well, you just have to sell it generally. She'll get half. So there goes your whole financial idea. Mm. And with the coming economic doom in this country.
Well, that's what I wanted to know about. You seem pretty certain there's a coming economic doom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's obviously junk status related.
Yes. I watched something on RT, you know, the Russians. And they said that the Moody's, Fitch, Standard & Poor's gave Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, 6 months before the financial crisis of the world, the top rating.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why Moody's just keeps us floating right there. But when we go to junk, there's going to be hundreds of billions of rands that must be pulled out of the country in government bonds. Where does, it's $216 billion is the real number. Where does that money come from? It comes from the stock market. It comes from jobs. It comes from businesses that are closing. It comes from, and I've got an article that says in August we were losing $2 billion a day. $2 billion a day. So you're not listening to the macroeconomics of what's absolutely happening here. And my son calls me the prophet of doom, but I got 2007-8 right, and I'm going to get 2020 right as well. Moody's just been hanging on and hanging on and hanging on, and people are continuing to do the detrimental things to their finances that they continue to do. And what I'm telling you is you can't affect the macroeconomics of this country, but you better fix what you have. Because I remember 2008, up to 200,000 houses were in repossession. And I know that's kind of, we're getting off on a little bad, it's kind of negative. But what I'm saying to you people is do not go out.
This is important. You know what, negative or positive?
I would rather have the real situation I'd than like the pretty truth. Situation. Yeah. Anytime.
All right, so as you were saying, the 2,000 houses being repossessed?
Up to 200,000 houses were being repossessed. So again, you want to buy a house, get yourself a nice repo, but wait till the market crashes. And as I say, it's been coming down, you know. So what I'm trying to tell people is this, especially the youngsters who listen here. When you get a job, one of the first things they want to do is sell you life insurance and a retirement annuity. You don't need life cover. A lot of times your job will give you life cover. You don't need to put your money in a retirement annuity. You'll have a pension or a provident plan at work. Don't tie up your money when you're 24 years old, 26 years old. You've got children coming. You've got house purchases and car purchases, and you can't touch that money. And very important, condoms are cheaper than nappies.
That's very good advice. That is extremely good advice.
And more fun to use.
Yeah. And they bombard these kids with insurance, and now I'm seeing, you were talking about pets earlier, I'm seeing pet insurance. Your pet, you know what my, what happened to my dog when he got sick when we were a kid? He ran away, eh? He ran away. So when your dog dies, throw him on the counter, go, give me another one of these. And then you ain't got to change the pictures. I mean, there's
popularity. If we had a graph of like listener sentiment, it would have just dropped.
I mean, here, you want insurance?
Starvation and poverty are fine, but don't fuck with our dogs.
I'm a cat man. Anyway, the other one, I think you want divorce insurance.
What?
That would be great, wouldn't it?
You think we could do that?
Well, your fees would be high in the beginning, I'm guessing. You know, because they don't last too long anymore, you know?
I wonder if they'd have interesting, fancy algorithms to work out, like, what you should pay at which stage. Because you're like, okay, you passed the first 3 years, so now you can come down a bit. Shit, now you're approaching 7 years. We have a lot of breaking up around 7 years. Oop, you're in the 10-year to 15-year safe zone.
I didn't 15 to 20, it gets insurance. Hot. When I got divorced, I got half his pension, so I
might. Nowadays, you did. But years ago, you didn't.
That was almost 20 years ago.
You still got half his pension 20 years ago?
Yes.
I thought they passed that in about mid-2000s or something like that. Consider yourself lucky.
Leanne was the sacrificial lamb.
Well, it was 15 years ago. Yeah.
All right.
Just do it.
So, Joe, let's all take this very seriously, because it's not just about saving now. It's not just about paying off credit card debt. This stuff is very, very serious, and the consequences can be enormous. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, people are living beyond their means, mm-hmm. and they have so much debt that they pay all the bills, live on, you know, what's left after they pay those bills. And with interest rates going up, that little less that they're living on is going to get much less, and they're going to have serious financial problems. So walking into the Christmas season, people, don't buy other people stupid gifts. They know. I know when you're on their way. Oh, we got to get some flowers, and we got to get the, you know, that woman impetus. That, you know, I got to get them something. Get them nothing. Go there, enjoy. Bring your own beer, whatever the case may be. Be frugal. It sounds a little cheap, but you know, you give them a stupid gift, and then you can't pay your home bond in 9 months. Go ask them for help. See what they tell you.
Yeah.
Also, most South Africans' weird dietary preferences. When I say weird, I mean, let's rather say, very specific dietary preferences aside, most South Africans would be really happy with a big-ass chocolate or a big-ass piece of biltong.
There you go.
Like, that's my Secret Santa thing always my fallback, check the person you're buying for is not a vegetarian, assuming they eat meat. Go take the budget of whatever the Secret Santa budget limit is, whether it's $50 or $100. Go get that much biltong. Give it to the person. They're always stoked. It's never failed.
There you go.
But you do got to check they're not a vegetarian.
Maybe obviously. Some prune manpur too. Don't forget.
But a prune manpur is a winner.
Yeah, bag I prefer of the prune manpur.
South Africans, as a rule, love knickknacks. Chomp bars remind everyone of their childhood, and they're cheap as hell because of childhood.
All right, I like it. Thank you, Joe.
Cool.
Thank you very much. Okay,
so the moral of the story is be a bit cheap because next year is going to be rough.
Yeah. Going to be very, very rough. Mm. Gotcha. And it's not just next year. It could go a few years.
So this is not the Christmas for buying affection. This is a Christmas for relying on the affection you've bought before and hoping it was enough.
There you go.
All right, I love it. Thank you, Joe. Joe Camino, everybody. Oh, wow. All right, the podcasts are available. If you would like to listen to any of this again. Oh, by the way, Joe, people want to know, where can they follow you?
Financialfitness.coza. Financialfitness.coza. We do corporate training, graduate training, retirement, retrenchment training.
Oh, people need to know about that.
Well, CCMA is full right now from what I just saw. So, right. And although they say the economy is doing well. Okay.
Yeah, sure. All right, so there's how you get hold of him, financialfitness.co.za. All right, very good. Thank you, Gordo.
Yeah, anytime. It's such a pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, coming up a little bit later on today, we've got a bunch of really cool stuff, including some of the repeat interviews that we've done before. And I will warn you that there is a very exciting new interview, which we're just doing this week with someone who I know that you love to hear from. And we're going to have him... And dun, da, da, dun, da, 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 his husband. Am I giving away too much?
Both Elton John.
That's right.
Oh. Was that real?
No, it's not Elton. But that'll be an exciting interview.
We should do new repeat interviews. And that'll just be you and me interviewing each other and going, Gareth Gordon, Gareth Gordon.
Well, in other words, talking or speaking?
No, just a repeat
talking
interview.
Talking at you.
Repeating.
Standard Bank is committed to driving growth on this continent we call home. The African Continental Free Trade Agreement has moved from being a pipe dream to a reality, and it will enable the free flow of goods and services across Africa. The head of trade for product management at Standard Bank, Kevin Holmes, speaks to MoneyWeb editor Rake Vanikak on the challenges of implementing the African Free Trade Area and the need for government and the private sector to work together to unlock the opportunities this brings. You can view the video or listen to the podcast right now on cliffcentral.com. Go and do that today, cliffcentral.com. How's this hat that Joe gave me?
Yeah, see, I get, like, the humor is fine. It's just the way people might construe it is not so much.
Make South Africa great again.
He's actually gone and got MAGA hats.
Yeah.
Same as the ones you know and love from Donald Trump, but with... Obviously, with America crossed, replaced by South Africa. Other than that, it's exactly the same.
It's awesome. Right. I mean, I'm going to be very choosy about where I
wear
it.
Where you wear it, yeah. And in front of what kind of people.
As you say, some people will immediately
interpret it. It doesn't have to be intended racistly. Someone just has to tell you it was, and then it was.
Yeah, the thing is, it's...
This is what you meant, Leanne.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.